Well, it was a very interesting event, and we're proud to be one of the official sponsors, the broadcaster, for the event, the Border Zone Conference, going on this weekend, this coming weekend, down in Presidio, Texas. And we've talked to Noy Torres before, and we'll bring him on in a moment. And we'll also have a new guest, which we haven't talked to, and we'll introduce him in a moment. But before we do all of that, I'd like to remind you that at the end of the show, we always end with a pre-recorded segment, usually 10, 12, 13 minutes, something like that. And in honor of the Border Zone Conference tonight, we took one of the best parts of an interview we did with Stanton Friedman, and in which it talks about his 75 papers he's written for MUFON and what he's found out over the years. And we picked that particular interview because it kind of dovetails with his presentation he'll be making there at the Border Zone Conference. And we are proud to announce that we'll have some excerpts, some live, a lot of live coverage, as a matter of fact, at jerrypiffin.com. And Inception Radio will get involved, too, later in the week as we cover this really, I guess the best way to say it is a cutting-edge conference of two countries side-by-side within miles of each other, Mexico and Texas. I think you'll find it very interesting. Ismael Cuellar is a law enforcement agent in Laredo, Texas, and is director of the Laredo Paranormal Research Association. Now, this is a very interesting group. In fact, I would kind of point you in that direction as we bring on the more coverage about the conference coming on this weekend, because this group has done quite a lot of very interesting things. It's a group that uses cutting-edge scientific instruments. I was looking at something on Facebook the other day that somebody pointed me to about some of their equipment and some of the things they do, and it's pretty incredible. And it's something that I think should have been done a long time ago. It could have been possible, but now they're doing it, and that's investigating paranormal phenomena such as UFOs, mystery orbs, spirit entities, and more. Now, Cuellar and his group speak frequently at conferences, demonstrating the techniques they use for detecting all of this information and things that cannot normally be seen by human beings. For instance, he was a featured speaker at the Laredo UFO Conference, which was held last November at Texas A&M International. And he was now also down to the 2012 UFO Festival, which was held this year, June 28th through July 1st in Roswell. And Noy Torres is the man who was responsible for bringing this man to my attention. So let's first of all, let's say hello to Noy Torres. How are you, Noy?
How are you doing tonight, Jerry? It is a pleasure to be on your show, and I am thrilled to have my friend from Laredo, Texas, Ismael Cuellar on tonight. The information that he has to share with us tonight, Jerry, as you have previously mentioned, is astounding, astonishing, and your audience is just going to fall in love with it.
Well, let's say hello to him. How are things with you, Mr. Cuellar?
I'm doing fine. We're doing pretty good. It's a pleasure and honor to be here in this event coming up in this weekend, and also being with you guys in the radio station. So we're doing good, very motivated and confident that we're going to do a good presentation for this event.
You notice, Noy, I called him Mister because when the Border Patrol stops you, they ask you, and they always say Mr. Pippin or Mr. Whatever. So I would just I did that just for kicks. I've always wanted to do that, so hope you'll forgive me for that. How did you get interested in the paranormal?
Well, and the paranormal was all by mistake about 18 years ago. I was in the tactical training with other agencies, doing like SWAT training, and we were training abandoned buildings, and we would videotape ourselves for training purposes, and we captured things we couldn't explain, to, you know, in night vision. Mm-hmm. There, the little itch and the little curiosity hits on our part of our work is to investigate. And we've been doing this as a hobby, and it's becoming more of a practice. And I guess the key success of our group is the commitment of the teamwork, but total 21 members, and they all have talents of audio and video and technologies and lasers and everything. So I'm kind of the facilitator to facilitate everybody together, and I get them engaged, and we do a lot of investigations, and we've been capturing things that makes your head think twice, and a couple of things that you can't just resolve it by scientific mythology, but just something that it's unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I can tell you about the Laredo Paranormal Research Society. It's a bunch of guys and girls that, you know, for years that we've been doing these investigations together, and now we're bringing it to the public.
I'm going to call you Ishmael from now on, if that's okay.
That's
we're all on a first name basis here in Norway. I wanted to let you know that you know so much about Ishmael too that you kind of guide me in the right direction as we go along here, because there's so many things that he's done, so many investigations that jump out at you. It's hard to get to the most important things, but you guys are doing something Thursday night I think is pretty interesting.
I'm sorry, Ishmael. I just want to set the stage, and then Ishmael can fill us in on the details. But one of the most amazing things about the Presidio, Texas area, which, by the way, is one of the most remote and isolated and beautifully scenic areas of the state of Texas, unlike any other place in Texas, you can drive for miles, literally hundreds of miles, and not see a human being. This is one of the vast stretches of desert mountains anywhere in the Southwest. And it also happens to be right smack dab in the middle of one of the most mysterious zones known on the planet, Jerry. And you and I have discussed this on previous shows. We have the spectacular Marfa Lights phenomenon, which has been seen in the area since the 1800s. Has been studied by numerous persons with scientific backgrounds. Research has been done, and nobody has ever been able to get to the bottom of these strange luminescent orbs of lights that appear right in front of the Chinate mountain peaks almost every night. You can almost set your watch by their appearance at dusk every evening. But not only that, Jerry, there is the Mexico's mysterious Zona del Silencio, or Zone of Silence, which has been called Mexico's Bermuda Triangle, which is in this same area. And there have been several major UFO incidents, such as the one that we are commemorating this weekend, the 1974 crash of a UFO in a mid-air collision between a small plane and an unidentified flying object near Presidio, Texas, within about 30 miles of Presidio, in the case that it has come to be known among UFO circles as Mexico's Roswell. In addition to this, people say that there could be some kind of interdimensional or interspatial portal in the mountains of northern Mexico in the Chihuahuan Desert, right here in the same region. So we're talking about an area that has been known for many, many years as being a place of strange happenings and strange events. And one of the most interesting things about the experiment that Ishmael Cuellar and the Laredo Paranormal Research Society is doing this Thursday night, and it's a repeat of previous research that they've done in that area, but all of us are looking forward to it, and it has become kind of an informal kickoff event to kick off the UFO festival, the Border Zone UFO Festival, which actually opens officially the next day on Friday, this coming Friday, in Presidio, which is just down the road from Marfa. But what's interesting about what Ishmael and his group are doing is they came up with the amazingly unique concept of actually shining a laser beam And I heard you talking with Bruce McAbee before we got on about UFOs and laser beams coming out of UFOs and strange lights and light beams that come out of these craft. Well, Ismael in this group, and he can tell you more in a minute, but just to summarize, to kind of tease it a little bit, he came up with a unique concept that nobody had ever tried before. In all the years of researching these Marfa lights, nobody had actually tried pinpointing a laser beam at them to see how they would react. And that's what makes what the work that he has done so incredibly fascinating. And I'm going to be quiet now so that you can get the story from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, Ismael, tell us a little bit about, you've done some experiments before, but what are you going to do Thursday night exactly?
Well, Thursday night we're going to have telescopes to have open for the public to can see a lot closer than what they have there. It's going to be a combine of technologies of infrared full-spectrum cameras, and you also we're going to have a specialized camera that takes temperature, which is a thermal camera. We're going to use a lot of different technologies combined with different lenses that we have modified to get those Marfa lights or mystery lights closer to us. And the previous investigation is going to be our third full-scale investigation. And from last time to this time, of course, we're going to take more optics and get the lights closer to us. We took a 1-watt laser. A 1-watt laser is about has the capacity of it's 360 times hotter than the sun, and this laser goes up to close to 90 miles of distance. Approximately, just these lights appear in the mountains about 20 miles away. So we are do get close or touch with the laser and see the reaction to it. And when we start doing this experiment with the lasers, of course, we're videotaping everything. We notice that the lights turn off and they move to the left, and sometimes they flare up. They kind of interact with the laser. That's what's so amazing. But, of course, everything is experimental. Is this a natural phenomena, or this is something that has intelligence we haven't really realized? I guess we're really the tip of the iceberg on getting some answers, but we're getting some reaction. Very good information for our group to document and follow this as a breakthrough for us to finding out that this has a reaction with the laser. Another thing is that we're going to show it to the public. We're going to have a projector. While we're watching in the monocular, the scope, we're going to have a projector so everybody can see as a bigger audience what we're capturing when we're filming this. Now, people realize when they see this, they cannot understand, the lights are off. They're turned off, the mystery lights. So those mystery lights continue being visible to our night vision cameras because they gather 50,000 times more light gathering than a regular camera. So that's another breakthrough that people have not realized, that we're able to see something spectacular that it turns off by the human eye. You can't see it with your spectrum of a regular human sight, but it will continue with night vision. And it's been a very, very instrumental resource that we have in our group, and has opened up a lot of doors of other answers that we want to put into in perspective for us to put this as a great finding. So we're going to have that for this coming Thursday at 7. We're going to be starting setting up a little bit earlier than that, and hope everybody can make it there. And we're going to have all this ready for the event.
Now, is this going to be right there? They've got a road sign, and you can pull up there at the Texas State Transportation Department. Is that where you'll be? Is that, in other words, Noy or Ismael, either one of you, can you tell me exactly where you will be, and is the public invited?
Yeah, there's a beautiful facility that's on the highway going into Marfa. I believe that's Highway 90, right, Ismael?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, Highway 90, heading from east to west, as you're approaching Marfa, about 10 miles out or so, on the south side of Highway 90, is a beautiful, you know, it looks like a full facility Texas road stop, you know, highway stop. But it has you know, bathrooms, and it has electrical power there, and I think it has pay telescopes, which Ismael alluded to the fact that the pay telescopes that are there aren't very useful, really. They're not very powerful, and so that's why Ismael and his group are bringing along much more powerful optic equipment. So it's a beautiful facility, really, and the odd thing about it, Jerry, and I think I might have mentioned this on a previous show, but you'll be sitting there in the official Marfa Light viewing site constructed by the Texas Department of Transportation. You'll be sitting there a little bit before dusk, and there's not a soul around. You know, you'll be sitting there waiting, and then all of a sudden, as soon as it starts getting dark, you'll see the vehicles start to pull up, and people in pickup trucks will back up their trucks, and they have lawn chairs in the bed of the pickup. And pretty soon, before you realize, that entire facility and all along the roadway on both sides is just packed with cars. And almost on a nightly basis, this phenomenon occurs, and people go out to see this bizarre sight in the desert that has been seen since the 1800s and has never been explained. Now, I also wanted to add, Jerry, Ismael was being a little conservative and reserved there, because my jaw just dropped when I saw the video that he showed me of the original experiments that he did. When you see those Marfa lights, which I had been seeing for years, I had been going out there to look at them, but when you see those things jump around as soon as a laser hits them, that's a definite reaction in my mind. So that to me indicates that these are not just random lights which appear out of the Earth's crust or whatever, natural forces. There is something there that makes a definite reaction to the laser beam striking it. It's just jaw-dropping to be familiar with this phenomenon and then to see the footage that Ismael has taken in the past and that we hope to see again this Thursday, to see those lights spin around, move left, move right, and do various reactions the very instant that the laser beam hits them. It's incredible to behold.
Ismael, do they jump like, ouch, that hurt, or they do you think they're moving because they want to get out of the light and don't want to be seen? What do you draw from all this? Well, what kind of conclusion?
I can tell you my opinion. When we hit them with the first time, they turned off, just like a light, like saying ouch or whoa, what was that? This is a very powerful laser. This burns wood, and it's a very powerful laser, and that was what we noticed, that, and then they kind of get adjusted to the light, and then they turned off, so you can't see them, but we still continue seeing them with the night vision, the specialized night vision. You'll be amazed when you see this type of technology that we have. But what makes it, we took a different laser. The one that we used initially was a green laser, and the second laser that we took was a blue laser. So you see a blue streak of line of light, and we had we hit one of the lights, and you had a video of a triangle moving across the mountain. Beautiful. Continuing that night that we visited there, and this was in November of last year when we did this experiment, on the right side we had one of our camera investigators with a thermal. He picked up a spot on the sky. And we turned our camera, and there was a flying orb, or UFO, or mystery orb, on the sky, on the right side, about 1,000 feet up in the sky and about half a mile away from us. And, you know, we had our guns of video and cameras. We turned to the right and started filming this. And I could say, guys, we got a UFO. You know, everybody started to turn to that area and start filming this, and you couldn't see it with your naked eye, but you can see it with the night vision or the thermal camera. And this is how the teamwork works with a group. Well, the very instant that we hit it with a laser, it sparked some type of force field, or it shines something back to us when we interacted with the laser. And we have that in film, and that's something we're going to show on the presentation. Amazing. We were just astonished for us to see something that it couldn't see with your naked eye, and it was captured with a camera, but not only did it react to the laser, and that was also captured on the site that we investigate the mystery lights, and that is something that we're going to show in a presentation as a phenomenal finding.
Do I understand correctly that you said it was about 20 miles away from where you see them, or do you have any estimate about
it? The ones from the mountains where we have, it's approximately from 15 to 20 miles. Our laser goes, you know, close to 90 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the test that we were doing, that we can touch them. Because in previous other investigators that have investigated the mystery lights, they get close to them, but they disappear. They become, they turn off. But we use a third, fourth generation night vision that can, it can see every little detail of light on the night. So it's very sensitive. It's like a bucket energy to receive all the light. So you can see that spectrum light that we usually cannot see. And we'll explain that more in detail, how night vision works. And that'll be part of the presentation we'll do on Thursday, the kickoff event that we have in that night at the Marfa site.
Now you're going to talk about this Friday morning, is that right?
Yes, sir.
At the conference?
Yes, sir. That's something we're going to talk about. And we're going to do some experiments. We're going to have the lasers that we use, and we're going to pop some balloons, and we're going to have some equipment, and we're going to have some interaction with the audience so they can see how these things work and everything. And we're going to show them what's infrared light that you can see, you know, very similar to the lights that you see in the night sky. And when they diminish and then they start disappearing, they're still there. But people say, well, they're gone because it's gas. But no, they still continue there. That's why when you project this, people will be astonished, because when they see this on a projector with a camera filming this, you can see the lights on the projector being filmed, but you can't see it with your naked eye. So that makes you think, well, you know, they're using a different cloak of energy that you can't see, but that you can see it with this instrument.
We're talking with Ismael Cuellar and also Noe Torres, and we're talking about the Marfa lights. They're going out there Thursday night, and then Friday morning at the Border Zone Conference. Noe, is that 9 o'clock when Ismael makes his appearance?
Yes, we'd like to invite everyone, by the way, to who is able to attend the Border Zone UFO Festival in Presidio begins at 9 o'clock with the first lecture, which is going to be by Ismael, and he'll have his group with him, as he mentioned. It's a wonderful presentation that they do. He's going to talk about Marfa lights and other anomalies. And I have heard Ismael speak several times. He was a featured speaker at the Roswell 2012 conference, as you had mentioned previously. He also spoke at the Edinburgh UFO conference in August, and he spoke as well at the Laredo UFO conference in November of last year. He's also a featured speaker at the 2012 Laredo UFO conference, which is coming up next month. So it's people who have not yet seen Ismael and his group present are in for a real treat. And it's Friday, October 19th at 9 a.m. And then he'll have another presentation on Saturday. And that presentation on Saturday is going to be at 10:45 a.m. He's going to talk about some of the amazing UFO footage that he and his group have filmed around the Laredo area. There is just an a totally unbelievable triangle UFO that moved silently and slowly across the skies of Laredo one evening, and Ismael got it on film. Every time I see that, it just totally blows me away. And Jerry, I want to just add a couple of quick things. I want folks to be aware of our website, which is UFOBorderZone.com, UFOBorderZone.com. Everything we're talking about tonight is spotlighted there. There are photographs that Ismael and his group have taken. There's links to videos that they've done. And also there's a schedule of all the lectures. We've got Stanton Friedman speaking, Dennis Beltazer, myself, Ruben Uriarte. And also for the folks who are not going to be able to attend in person, Jerry, through your graciousness and your backing, supporting us by being a sponsor, you will have the links to where people can view and listen to the actual live events that are going on in Presidio, Texas.
That's right, and they go over, we'll have it highlighted at jerrypippin.com, and they go over there and they can see the lectures as they happen. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, and keep checking our website, and we'll keep updating you on that as well. We're talking to Ismael Cuellar and also Noy Torres. We're talking about the Border Zone Conference. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that giant triangle, Ismael. But before we do that, I want to ask you two more questions about the Marfa lights, and maybe something else might come up as well. Do these things have any shape when you look through this expensive material? You know, you have all kinds of equipment. Can you make out a shape, or is it just lights?
They're lights. I can tell you when they turned off. When I mean turned off, they're not visible to the human eye, and it's continually capturing in the night vision. They leave a trail of energy behind them, so you see like they're like moving like a ball of light, and looks like more like a comet, like a tail. And sometimes they move left, and some move right, and they're moving, but you're still seeing them. And that's what the people, when they're seeing this, they're seeing the best technology out there combined with different lenses. They cannot comprehend and say, well, hold on, how come I cannot see this lights, and I can see them through the night. And that's the first thing, that they're trying to understand this. For us, they move with intelligence. They move left, they move right, they move up, and then they get closer. They're moving.
Has anyone, Noe or Ismael, either one of you, know if anyone's ever tried to fly into those Marfa lights when they're showing?
Actually, yes, Jerry. There was actually an Army air base in Marfa, Texas, many years ago in the 40s.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and some of the pilots, it was written by local historians, and I've read many of the books, every book available, in fact, about the Marfa lights. Some of the pilots actually tried to pursue those lights, and they pursued them up to a certain, proximity, and then they would just wink out. Of course, the cool thing about what Ismael and his group are doing is they're using technology that only recently has become available to us. And as Ismael has pointed out, it shows the human eye can be deceived. We can see, we see an object moving that's lighted, and we see traces of it behind. We see kind of a trail, but all of it has to do with the way our human optic system works. You know, we're actually seeing things a lot of times that aren't there, and we're not seeing things that actually are there, but we just can no longer perceive it. But with the equipment that Ismael has, some of the latest equipment, cutting-edge equipment that he has, we are actually seeing, it is actually picking up the energy that these objects are dissipating or are, bringing into play around it. So what fascinates me is to be able to see the Marfa lights after they are no longer visible to the human eye. That right there is a major breakthrough in the study of these objects, to be able to continue to see them even after the human eye. Now, one of the cool things, there's a little demonstration that Ismael and his group does during their presentation, and I hope I'm not giving too much away here, Ismael, but it always totally blows my mind. He has a video of a human being at the moment of death, Jerry, and you can and it's being filmed by the special camera that shows the energy level within that body. And as that person is passing on, you see that energy slowly ebb out of the body. Now, that is so impressive to me. Where does that energy go? This is the age-old question that human beings have asked themselves for countless centuries. You know, where does that energy go? We know that that energy is not lost. That energy goes somewhere. And just like in the Marfa light phenomenon, the UFO encounters that we've read and seen stories about, you know, there are energies which are beyond our understanding that are at work here, that are at play. And what Ismael and his group are doing that is just absolutely staggering to me is they are trying to determine, you know, what these energies are, how exactly they operate in our world, within our senses, and within the abilities of these new technologies to detect. And this is what is so remarkable about this. And we know that the area of the state of Texas where we're having this UFO conference, it wasn't something that we just picked at random. It is a place that's very special, and there's and we have access to energies there in that area of the world that are not available anywhere on Earth. This is a very special place. So this is a unique event in many, many different ways.
Ismael, do you think these lights are living creatures? I mean, what's your hunch?
That's a very good question. It's a phenomenon, to my opinion, it's a phenomenon that it could have some type of intelligence. It's like everything, part of us being human is to explore the mysterious. And we see things, you know, we put this as a paranormal, unexplained. And it's just something that we are studying. Inside me, I can tell you, as an open mind person on this, that I think this is energy with intelligence. You know, when they turn off with a laser, and then they interact with the laser, and then they play around, and then they don't want to be seen, and they turn off, we still have that edge of the technology that we can continue seeing how they interact. And it's another world. The infrared world of camera, the way we have it, it's a good recipe of technology for the viewers to take another step into the unknown. It's just amazing.
And now when they blink out or dim out and you're still able to make out something, do they change shapes or do they have a shape at all?
They change shapes. They're more of a sphere, of an orb. And when they move, they leave a streak of light energy. Like it's more like some type of luminescence of energy, similar to a streak, like I mentioned earlier, of like a little comet moving around. And all that energy, it vanishes while it's traveling to the left, when it moves to the right. And when it manifests to be very bright, you'll see this illuminate a lot of light. We're thinking of approximately, and this is not correct, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're estimating approximately about 400 watts of light to 800, because they're super far away. You know, you're talking about 20 miles, 15, 20 miles, and then they light up like fire, and then they dissipate.
And it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, Jerry. I can remember vividly, as Ismael's talking about them, I remember vividly the very first time I saw them light up. We were on a vacation to the area. My family and I were standing there, you know, very skeptical. You know, we had heard about these. We thought they were fables, old wives' tales. And then the first one lit up and started spinning. And they kind of oscillate. And there's multiple colors in there. And they some of them appear on the desert floor. Some of them appear up at the top of the peaks. Some of them appear in the middle. There doesn't seem to be a random, and it seems to be kind of random, but I've always thought maybe there would be a way to correlate. Maybe there's some kind of message trying to be communicated by the way in which they blink on and off, change colors, change shapes, move up and down, move left and right. Sometimes you'll get simultaneously several of them will appear all in a row, and then they'll wink off. And, you know, it's just an incredible spectacle to behold.
They also multiply. From one, you'll have the divide in two and three. And like Mr. Noah just mentioned, they change color to light green, to an amber orange, slightly red. You know, it's spectacular. So I can't wait to go to be here. I mean, to be there at the 18th of this month.
The other thing I was going to add is we have always speculated, Jerry, about the possibility of beings who are composed not of flesh and blood and skin, but of energy, some form of energy that does not require them to take a solid form at all times. You know, in fact, a lot of our folk tales and legends, a lot of our religious beliefs even, have in them stories of beings who exist on a different plane than we do, beyond the flesh and blood. From what Ismael's experiments show and some of the other work that he and other groups like him, his, are doing, you know, we seem to be getting a slightly little better grasp at understanding this realm that's beyond the physical and that seems to be composed mainly of energy, but it's an energy that seems to have an intelligence to it. That's the amazing thing.
So in summary about the Marfa lights, before we go to some other subjects here, I'd like to get both of you's agreement or non-agreement. It's more than likely not any kind of spaceport or something like that. This is a living, for lack of a better term, paranormal or supernatural happening that is native to that particular area and always stays in that same place, in a zone, so to speak.
Well, it is one of several areas on the Earth where these strange, mysterious orbs appear. We've actually, and I've done research on this, there's a number of places on the planet where similar phenomena occur. There's a place in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, and there's a couple of other places. So, I mean, this phenomenon of the Marfa lights, yes, it's unique to Texas, West Texas, and to the Big Bend area, to the Marfa area, as far as our you know, as far as North America. But there are a few other spots on Earth where these strange energies are appearing. So it's a well-known phenomenon that has occurred for, has been known for centuries, you know, in other places.
How long have they been seen there? Ishmael, do you have a history? Do you know? Forever or...
You're asking me how long we've been investigating?
I mean, you'd like, did they see them in 1930, 1920, last century?
They have actually been seen since the 1800s, Jerry, the cowboys in the area. The very first people that came, the ranchers and the cattlemen of the late 1800s, would see these things off in the distance, and they called them Apache campfires. They thought, you know, because this was the area of the Apache Indians, the Comanches, they would run all through here and run down into northern Mexico. And this was a regular trail where the Apaches and other tribes would frequently travel. So the early settlers of that region believed these to be campfires that were lit by the Indians. And we have some stories that have been recorded by local historians over the years about the early settlers going out to try to find these campfires and these Indians. Well, as soon as they'd ride up in their horses and they get close to the lights, they'd disappear. They were no longer visible. So, I mean, people, a lot of skeptics, Jerry, the noisy negativists, as Stanton Friedman refers to them, are saying that these are nothing more than the headlights of cars that are traveling along the highway between Marfa and Presidio, and they somehow the beams of light get reflected by clouds or atmospheric conditions, and that's all it is, car headlights. Well, I hate to break it to them, but in the 1800s, there weren't any car headlights around, and there were no roads, by the way.
Okay, let's move on to some of the other things, Ishmael, that you've been doing. And Noy mentioned something earlier about this giant triangle. Tell me a little bit about that, both of you. When was that seen?
It was October 23rd of last year. It was almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the northeast of Laredo, Texas, and we were stargazing. We were filming the night sky, and we got something in our field of view and on our camera that had no combustion sound, no propulsion sound, and it was cloaked with this infrared light, and you couldn't see it with your naked eye. It was triangular, and it had spheres in each corner of the triangle. And this craft was moving about, I can say, well, the size of it's about 100 feet radius, triangle by volume, I can tell you. And it was moving from north bound going to west of Laredo. And it was one of the most amazing videos we have ever captured. We had this video analyzed by the Department of Justice, a videographer. He saw the video, and he put some filters to analyze the video to see the structure of it. And more he dig into, he discovered that it was more triangular, and he couldn't understand the temperatures that had this video on the film. And he was astonished, and we got a witness statement from his behalf that this was unexplained. You know, it could be a drone, sophisticated from the military. It's a possibility, or actual an extraterrestrial vehicle, you know, harvesting or flying over our night sky. What, you know, I've been doing a lot of research on drones and military. All of them that I know that I've seen have combustion. You can hear them. This one had no sound and had no propulsion sound, and it was just flying, and we were able to catch it at the right time, at the right moment. And one thing we tell the people that we, you know, when we do these investigations, always use a tripod, and you have a clearer picture, and then, you know, you get all excited, and you have it in your hand. You see the jiggies, and you don't get a clear picture. This one was just perfect.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I need to add, it just was gliding effortlessly through the sky. It's just graceful, even, almost like a living organism. But when Ismael showed me the videos where some filters had been applied to it, it was very clear that this was a symmetrical object. It had raised protuberances on each of the corners of the triangle. It was very clearly a manufactured, and probably most likely not on this earth, but it was very clearly a manufactured object that moved using some kind of aerodynamics that we are totally unaware of. And if we had the technology that this object exhibited, you know, the U.S. would be just leaps and bounds ahead of where we are in terms of warfare, because it just cannot be seen with the naked eye, and there's no sound, there's no combustion. It's just obviously it's not one of ours. I mean, I that's just my personal opinion, but it's obviously nothing that we have the capabilities to reproduce at the present time.
When we talk about this craft and where you describe it, Noah, and also Ismail, it was going in a certain direction. You got some military reservations down there and some experimental places. Do you think it could have been headed that way, not necessarily being one of ours, even just a landing zone or something?
Well,
I mean, we have no way of knowing, of course.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm a deputy warden. I work with law enforcement, and I work close ties with what was going on in our areas and everything. But as soon as we showed this to Fox News, and they made a nationwide of this craft captured, within the 2 weeks, we had about 15 helicopters stationed here in Laredo, Texas. So once I started walking on the streets here in Laredo, Texas, had a bunch of friends of mine, hey, I got all this helicopter because it's your fault. You know, you put this in the news, and I can't sleep. You know, what are they doing here? And we had a lot of questions arise that there was that triangular UFO that was captured in Laredo. That's why they had the military investigating. But that's something I cannot prove. But, you know, we did have, it was too much of a coincidence, or actually we had the military involvement on analyzing this event that happened here in Laredo.
There's the other thing that happened also, Ismail and Jerry, is that as soon as that story hit the national wires, very impressive photographs taken by Ismail, video footage, all of a sudden there were all the naysayers and noisy negativists started making all these negative put-downs about it on all the blogs and stuff. It's almost as if they're just waiting for any incident that cannot be explained that brings highly credible information out to the public. And they immediately start spewing out their propaganda to make sure that, so that the public is, so that their fears are assuaged and so that nobody gets alarmed and so that everybody really believes that we are in control of our own skies, which many people dispute, including myself. But it was just so interesting to see the negativism propaganda machine suddenly come to life as soon as Ismail posted those pictures and those videos. And to me, more than anything, Jerry, because I know how these things work, and so do you, that means that Ismael's work has struck a nerve somewhere, as does the appearance of the helicopters.
Ismail, you're a law enforcement agent. You work with the federal government or the state of Texas, or who?
I work for the Department of Corrections, the correctional subcontract with the Marshals.
Mm-hmm.
I also work with other agencies, local here in Laredo, Texas. I'm a deputy warden. I've been doing that for almost...
reason I ask, I wanted to make that clear to everybody, what you did, because the first, I don't doubt the bloggers, and I don't doubt any of this stuff, and the helicopters, I don't doubt either. I just wondered if you got some kind of official notice that, hey, Ismail wants you to go talk about something else.
No. I had a lot of support from the law enforcement community, because we use, we're very modest to our research. And we open up to the public's opinion. Although we did hit 175,000 viewers in YouTube, but I can tell you that we had more positives than negatives. I think we're in the hundreds versus 25 negative comments. They're all, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but we had more positives in other areas. And because, they don't see the technology. It hasn't been exposed. You're talking about combination of lenses combined with, you have the best of a lens combined with a monocular that has the capabilities of gathering light and then you have an eyepiece behind it, and then you have a recorder behind it, and all combined, you have an eagle eye of the night. So we're barely hitting the tip of the iceberg of a good breakthrough that night vision would be perfect for the ufologists in the future. And not only that, projecting it for the audience on a projector. So
We'll be doing more shows about this since we're an official sponsor of the Border Zone Conference. Right now we need to stress that the thing actually gets underway at 9 a.m. on Friday. Is that correct? And goes through Saturday night with Stanton Friedman each evening at 6:30.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, on Friday night, Stan will start his presentation at 6:30. He's going to give a remarkable presentation called Man's Place in the Universe, and it's all about how much our understanding of the world and the universe has changed in the last 20 or 30 years. It's remarkable. We've gone from believing the Earth to be at the center of the universe to now suddenly realizing that there are millions of potential Earth-like planets just in our own neighborhood, billions perhaps in our own galaxy. So
I have to ask you, Noy, is this expensive to go to, or is it free, or what?
The lecture series is completely free, Jerry.
That's what I was thinking. I just didn't want to plug it. I just wanted to make sure, because it's so incredible that you're able to offer all of this.
Yeah, we want people in all the neighboring cities, Marfa, Presidio, Alpine, over in Fort Stockton, Fort Davis, even perhaps as far away as Midland and El Paso. We want them to come on down and take advantage of, I mean, how many times are you going to get to see the world's most famous UFO researcher, Stanton Friedman, give two outstanding lectures of nearly 2 hours duration each for free, along with all the other things that we've been talking about.
And we'll have all of that video available live.
Right. It's an amazing opportunity.
And also, I'm sure there'll be some other things on demand that we'll be offering as well.
Absolutely.
End up on YouTube, probably.
Well, it'll be on our websites for sure, on your website and ours. So, I mean, this is
speaking of websites, we'll get some websites we need to plug here.
Sure.
Ishmael, how about your website?
Our website is LaredoPRS.com or LaredoUFO.com.
And knowing, give yours again. We know it, but you tell it.
Okay, UFOBorderZone.com. That's UFO. And then Border Zone, all together, all lowercase, .com.
And you can go to jerrypippin.com and run into the program highlights window, where we'll have links to it anyway already. We have a banner there for the conference. You click on there and you go to our page, which also will spotlight the live events and the live links and several interviews, including this one will end up there too, as well as at Inception Radio. Thanks a lot for being on, both of you. Any closing comments?
Well, I just want to invite everyone, Jerry, to either come on down to Presidio and Marfa and enjoy this wonderful conference, or you can watch it live on the Internet. I mean, this is a great opportunity. It's totally cost-free, and we're just trying to do something to expand the knowledge.
And we're working, and you're working very hard to get the top quality sound to go with that video so people can see it all.
Absolutely. We're going to have top quality sound and video streaming live from Presidio, and it's all going to be available through the links that you provide there, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you very much, both of you, and we'll be following up a lot of this. And Noy and Ishmael, we never let people go that are interesting, so we'll have you back soon.
I'd like to be back soon. Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure to be on.
And folks,
yes.
I'm Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Show.